What's good, everyone? It's Gavin or Tweak.
What's good? What's good? It's Marcus or Pink.
And what's going on? You got Matt or Hat. Sorry, boys. How about that? What's going on? It's Matt or Has. Marcus.
What's up, man?
Very excited for this week's episode. Very excited. What do you even say to start it off? I think that Supernova, just at a high level, delivered on just about every front. Personally, I thought it was an incredible, incredible experience. I'm so happy to see both of you. We missed Charles there. We'll be missing him for this episode as well, which is too bad because it really was something that a lot of people said to me, like, damn, I really wish Charles was here. And I was like, me too. I was going to make a joke and say not me, but absolutely did and really did miss him on commentary and just having him around. He's just great to talk to about Smash and all that good stuff. So with that, I think we can get started. We do have Patreon content. This week, it's just going to be more Supernova coverage. There's too much to go over. There are too many good matches, too many good sets, too many good things that we can cover in the main episode. So if you guys want to hear more about our personal experiences at Supernova, check us out, patreon.com/WeTalkIn. With that, let's get started. How are you doing, Marcus?
Bro, that weekend kind of cooked me. I wasn't even there the entire time. Like, I guess I just haven't been to a tournament in a long time, especially one of that scale. And I was just tired. Like, I only went on Saturday and Sunday. And after Saturday, it was just so many people. And, like, Saturday is when most of the best matches happen. And there was just a lot of energy. And I was just sitting there. I woke back up Sunday, like, bro, I don't know if I'm going back. Like, but I had to go back because Gavin was in top 24 and I wanted to see him, see how he did. So I went. It was a great weekend. It was a great weekend. Life's good. Weekend's good. Smash is lit. Let's go. All right, Haz, lock back in.
I'm locked back in. What's your question? How am I doing?
Yeah, man.
I'm doing all right. It's tough. There's like less room on my trophy case after this weekend. It's just such a burden. Man, my voice is so shot, dude. I'm feeling like Coney right now. Like, I'm just – I mean, you all heard me. I think most of you heard me on that top eight. Like, it was just – those are some great sets, too. I was very happy with how the bracket, for the most part, broke down. Obviously, I wish a couple of the players were in the top eight. A lot of my faves weren't in there, but some of my faves were in there. So I had a blast. It was just good vibes at SmashCon, which I said in commentary where – sometimes you go to a tournament, it's like there's some shit going on in the community. There's some like stupid drama or some dumb bullshit going on. And it's just like kind of hangs over the event. Not the case at this tournament. Obviously, there was some stuff that happened at the tournament, but like it is what it is. But overall, like really, really great weekend. Great bracket. I was so happy to hang out with you guys. I was so happy to see everyone. Meet so many people through the podcast, which is like one of my favorite things about the podcast is people approach me and say they like the show. And they like hearing us talk and all that good stuff. So I'm really happy to be here. And I had a fantastic weekend, to be honest with you. I can't wait to talk about it more. Gavin, what's good, bro?
What's up? Yeah, I'm exhausted too. I spent the last like, so we drove, we usually drive. So we got back like really late Sunday night. And, I feel like I've just been permanently asleep since I got back. I don't know if I'm sick or if I'm tired from the event or both. I still think I'm figuring that out, but yeah, it was great. It just made me want to play the game more in terms of trying to win because I don't know. I ran into a couple tough matchups. Usually when I run into Sonics, like in something that isn't grand finals, he gives me a hard time. Or I ran into Hurt and Diddy Snake. Just, it feels like it gets harder and harder every time I play it. And it just kind of reminded me of like, you know, a tournament like Gommel where the bracket was more fortunate for me, but like Big D was like in the top eight. And it's like, well, if I ran into him, I would have had to play Diddy Ices and I probably wouldn't have been holding the trophy. You know what I mean? So I don't know. It makes me consider like warming up Sephiroth more often or this or that. Like, you know what I mean? So we'll see. But it definitely, I practiced a bunch after the event before I started doing ran dubs like an idiot. But I did practice a lot for a few hours before I did that. But yeah, I had a good weekend. B wasn't able to make it until like Sunday because she had to take care of Tiny. And we're just hoping she goes into remission sooner than later with her diabetes because, you know, the less events B can miss, the better, obviously. So, yeah, I definitely I'm feeling a bit motivated. It's kind of like an angry type of motivation, like just because I'm mad I lost, didn't make top eight. And, yeah, I just didn't think I was playing too well in general. So... I think I have a lot to think about. I've been playing a little bit. I've been watching some VODs and stuff. But the event was crazy. Like Haz said, I think it delivered in terms of like the rankings came out like the pretty much the same, you know, like at the same time as the event itself. And I feel like this being like the first big tournament post ranking is very crazy in terms of nothing really went as expected when it comes to like the big picture, like the best players. A lot of the best players didn't make top eight, and players that are ranked much lower than other people did much better. And it feels very like the results are surprising comparing to the ranking, but in terms of like just how Smash works in general, it's actually not surprising at all. This game is pure chaos, and I think NA should have a confidence boost after this for sure. Japan has been very dominant. But when we were all put under the same roof, it showed that there isn't a single person that is overly dominant over the rest of the venue, in my opinion, for like the best of the best players in that room. I think a lot of us are very close to each other. And I think NA should be very confident in that we can win any single bracket. Doesn't matter what bracket it is or where the bracket is being held. We just need more chances. Like if more of us went to Japan at the same time and blah, blah, blah. I think we should be confident. And I'm not here to say Japan sucks at the game or something. They're definitely the best region in the world, and they definitely have the best players in the world. But... they are not far ahead at all. Yeah. And I don't think they ever have been. Data wise, sure, but who cares about that? to be quite frank, I think NA should trust in their longevity that they've had in Smash. And this tournament should definitely be a confidence booster. And congrats to everyone who did really well, regardless, but especially some of the people I've known for a long time. Like Spargo and Sonix and Shattuck and even Mars had a really great run. Just there's a bunch of people. We'll get deeper into that, but that's pretty much my gist of it. It's a bit of anger. It's a bit of motivation. It's a bit of a realization. Like it's a bit of everything after the weekend. I feel like every big tournament kind of can do that type of thing to you. So.
Yeah, it's complicated. There's so much to think about after a tournament like that, right? Like, just look at the top four. If you were to tell me there is one player from the Dominican Republic, one from the USA, one from Japan, and one from Mexico, it's like that combination could be so many different players. And I said this too, like, aside from the DR, no offense, like, Sonix is just on another level. Like, you probably know who that is. If you say one player from the DR is in the top four. Hey, shout out to Captain Cito, though, right? Hey, could happen. Yeah. But it was obviously Sonix. It's like Mexico, it could be Leo, could be Meister, could be a couple different players. USA, obviously, the list is very long. In Japan, the list is long as hell. If I could just already start, I'm so fucking happy that Oshimo was the last representative from Japan. Like, had you told me that going into this tournament, I'd be like, that'd be really fucking cool if that happened. But the odds are not, you know what I mean? Like, Akol is there, Mia's there, and it's just, I loved it because he's been so consistent. In getting top eights in Japan and such a strong region and just doing well with Ryu, which is obviously really tough. And he beat Yoshidora, who's been his racket demon for a really, really long time. That matchup fucking sucks. It's not fun at all. It's not fun on either side, to be honest with you. Yoshidora played it well too. But it's really, really tough for Ryu. So I was really happy, obviously. And I think everyone noticed I was a little biased for my boy Ashimo on the mic just a little bit. But I was having so much fun, and I just thought it was great. And it was such a good story for him to do that. I'm so sorry about my voice. It's just, fine, bro. I got nothing. I got nothing.
Not
I'm sorry.
It's really not that bad.
Bro, it was horrible. Dude, someone at work today told me, literally, your voice sounds like shit. He's like, are you okay? He literally said that to me. I was like, oh.
I mean, you heard Coney. He was on a... I can't talk anymore. I was like, golly, bro.
Yeah, Coney, he really... Gone. Coney Fest, dude, like his voice is always shot, and then he had like 4 hours of Coney Fest or whatever. I was like, he's not casting tomorrow. There's just no way. He like literally couldn't talk, if you guys were wondering why he didn't cast. He always closes with TK and EE. None of them want to smash you this year, so that's interesting fact about the three of them too.
Yeah. L.
But W, like, for someone, that's pretty cool. Like, it's a very prestigious group of people who've won smashies for commentary.
Yeah.
The cream of the crop, really, is what it is.
It's more important than anything else at that weekend.
Let's not get carried away. I think it's up there, but it's not. It's not the number one. Well, maybe it is. It's up there.
Yeah, it is.
It's up there. Yeah. Like, Mars had a good weekend. I had a good weekend. You know, like, people keep saying that. It's weird. It's pretty cool. That picture I took with Fargo, by the way, is fucking hilarious.
This wasn't as good as yours, but.
No. I mean, I was in top eight, so like that helped. You know.
Yeah.
All right, that was cool. And I got a trophy.
Yeah.
It's a pretty lonesome trophy. Anyway, Jesus Christ, dude. I can't keep doing this. But the
I beat it out of you, bro. You got to kill him with kindness. You got to kill him with kindness. I beat it out of you. Now, finally.
Oh, Gavin dragged it out of me. I had to talk about my smashy. Yeah, he just made me do it. No, but I did want to say that because I was like, when they were like, you're nominated. I was like, oh shit, I got to think of something to say. And then they're like, you won. I was like, fuck, I should have thought a little more about this. I don't know what to say. They're like, oh, the easiest thing is just make a joke about Coney. That's great. Everyone likes that. That's cool. So that was like my thought there. And then after that, I was like, I truly have so many people. Like, I know it's just a smashing. I know it's like silly and whatever, but it did mean a lot to me. It did. Just because I've been around for so long. And just to be recognized in any capacity is really nice. And I know it's not that serious, but it was nice, and I did appreciate it. And what?
It's like kind of serious,
You know what I mean, though. Like, I know it's not that. So I just wanted to get in, get out, because I was like, I do, thanks to you guys, I do have a decent platform where I can say thanks to you guys, to Gavin. Obviously, I already said it, like, for putting me in your backpack, basically, and carrying me to France. Like, I wouldn't have even been there if it wasn't for you, and you hit the combo. So like, I don't know. And a part of it was it was cool though, because me and you independently from the Smashy loved that commentary moment and you winning that set. Like, we had talked about that several times.
Last time Fargo and I played, I think. I don't think we've played since then.
Damn. It was a really good set.
Yeah, I'm serious.
Yeah. It was just like the perfect combination of, like, I was personally invested, obviously, because you were playing. It was an incredible comeback moment. Like, the stars were just aligned. So I do obviously thank you and Charles and Marcus and Chris for the podcast and like keeping me around and all that stuff. And Humming, who got me there and like, you know, was like, you're a good caster. Let's cast this top. He could have picked anyone to do that with him. So I appreciate him bringing me over and having faith in me. And thanks to my wife for the last like 10 years, man. Like, she's always been cool about Smash and really made an effort to understand what I do and to be cool that I'm gone a bunch of weekends out of the year. Like, that's a big thing. So I know it's a stupid award, I know, but it did make me sentimental. It really did. And all that shit is said about the community is true, too.
Like you just said, there's a bigger picture, so I think you're valid for sure. Like,
thanks, yeah. I appreciate it. I'm just trying to keep myself grounded, you know? Like, it's not, come on, you know? Like, whatever. But, right, anyway, so it's more about just, like, I'm really happy with where I'm at with Smash, and especially after such a good SmashCon, I'm just really happy. I just am, so thanks, podcast listeners, Smash community, everyone. Anyway. All right, seriously, enough about that shit. So,
is that really the last time y'all played?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm sitting here and I'm like, I think it might be.
Yeah, we haven't played.
Did you play Watch the Throne? No. Goodness.
No. That's the thing. The next time we play, I have no idea what to expect. Someone's getting smoked. Because, like, I feel like we're just not, we haven't been
That's crazy.
Ready for each other or something. Like, someone's getting smoked, bro.
What in the world? Oh, yeah. It's funny because
that was a while ago at this point. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier, Gavin, about how NA should be proud they could keep up I was thinking about that too, and I was also thinking about how cool it is now. You know, Haz loves to say Smash is international, but like now it kind of is really starting to feel like, you know how like there's like an Evo and an Evo Japan?
Yeah.
Like it's kind of starting to feel like Kagaribi's like Evo Japan. Like obviously like, there's Evo Japan.
They're just,
you know what I mean? Like
necessary because of the scale. Yeah.
Right. And like how people from, not everyone from America goes to Evo Japan, but a good amount of people go. And I'm starting to think like maybe that's how it is. Like, you know, we have the Genesis, and then normally in like anywhere between March and May, we have Kagaribi. Hey, and they can hop on over to Japan, and then we have Smash Con, and then toward the end of the year. So I mean, maybe there's some I don't know. I just think it's cool that like you kind of have to go to both, because I had a thought that if Akola doesn't come back, I don't think he could be ranked number one. I think it's already over if he doesn't come back to America. Even if he wins every single thing in Japan, I think because he what did he get? He got second at the Kowloon Kagaribi, and then he got, which was, that counted for the upcoming season, and then he got seventh here, and he lost to Sonics, and he lost to
Yoshidora.
So I mean, he could get that back in Japan, but the Sonics loss is tough, and that seventh, I don't know how he's gonna recover that when Sonics is more likely not gonna have a positive record over him and Mia for the rest of the season, unless they come back or if he goes over there. But it's like one of those weird things where now the ball's kind of in their court. Like they kind of have to come back over here, and it's like, that's cool. Like sometimes we're going to have to travel over there, and sometimes they're going to have to travel here. And it's like, that's really cool. I don't know. That's exciting for the future.
I had a really hard time getting over there the last year or two.
Yeah.
But I just like, I have to do what I can this time. Like, even if I have to like make some big sacrifices, I feel like I just have to at this point. So, and like that's the other thing about after this tournament in general, it's just like, I just gotta go to as much as I can. Especially because like me and Light have been talking about Riptide coming up, and I kind of like, it sounds silly, but him and I trying to get there, like I feel like I'm realizing like how much it will impact the ranking just from like a couple people like me and Light showing up, and like the snowball potential of other people knowing that we're going. So I just gotta show up, bro, and it'll at least make the tournament more like worth more than it would have been if I wasn't there. So, and not that that's like the most important thing in the world or anything, but Light was like, yeah, just talk to a bunch of people. Like I said that you and I might be going, and now this person wants to go, this person's going, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, wow, that happened like in like 24 hours. It's pretty cool. So I'm going to try to make it out to Riptide, because that's the only thing I think I'm aware of that's like next. I think it's at the beginning of September. And yeah, I just want to keep that momentum going or something like that. It just sucks because B might have to miss out on even more than I thought she would, and my cat still has all like am I blanking on this? The insulin shots every 12 hours and all that stuff. So, and I'm probably gonna have to skip out on my Yu-Gi-Oh locals, but we'll figure it out.
like you said, it's gonna be some hard decisions.
Sacrifices.
That's like a terrible sacrifice that no human should ever have to go through, but you know. But yeah, that's insane. But yeah, once again, I think NA should be feeling pretty good. Not like, obviously Spargo and Sonic should feel great because they did so well, and people in Static, and but just as a collective, I think they should, because I think just with how Smash Ultimate has been functioning lately, I feel like it's pretty easy to be convinced that like we're like worse than like as a collective compared to other regions like Japan or something. But I think at the end of the day, it's probably just not true, regardless of how like the rankings or the data works, because I think at the end of the day, the big thing is the eye test and like having the experience and like really knowing what's going on. And, you know, I've been doing this for like over 10 years. So I think like it's always surprising when like someone I know goes over to a different region, they underperform, and I'm just like, that just not doesn't sound right. But like, I think if we're all like under the same roof more often, it will definitely equalize. And I think it's already showing.
Okay. I think that's another part of what's so cool about Japan is because they are all, not all obviously, but for the majority of it, they are under the same roof and they have these big head to heads against each other. Like the storylines and like the dramatics are like always right there. And that's part of the reason why they got so good, man. I was tight. Cause I had, can we talk about Mars for a second? Like his sets and like all that stuff. Is that cool? Or sorry, did you have something to say, Marcus, before we jump into my next ADHD thought?
All right. I already forgot.
All right, W. Yep, we both have ADD. That's cool. All right, so Tyler. Jesus, dude. Like, I don't even know what to say. The Mia 3-0? I don't know. Yeah. The, dude.
Hey, we talked about it.
On the Patreon episode.
We really? Oh, it was Patreon. Damn, okay.
Yeah, I know.
We can still clip it, though. We can still clip it.
If you want proof that we predicted this.
You can pay $5.
You can find it.
What the
heck? If you don't believe that we predicted Mars could make the tournament run that he did make, we did predict this.
The Onan set was ridiculous too. Just absolutely.
I have to watch that one in full, but I did watch the Mia set in full. It's interesting. I don't want to be the hindsight guy or anything, but I wonder how it would have went if Mia switched after one game and like immediately went Steve.
There's so many things like that in a tournament though, especially a tournament like this. Like there are just so many things that I think of like that after the fact.
I don't blame Mia's decision in the slightest because I don't think game one was like out of reach or anything, but just stuff like that is always so interesting. I mean, I think about it for myself, obviously, especially with losses. Like I lost to her and it's like, well, I did pick a really terrible matchup when I do have other options that aren't as terrible. So you can't help but wonder. But yeah, with Mia Mars, it's interesting. Like, he really did just play it really well. And Zero Suit does have a lot of tools that are like so much stronger versus Game Watch than most characters. Like the Zair is incredible. Mars did a lot of very precise things that was very helpful in the matchup that I might dive a little bit more into later, but Zero Suit's disadvantage generally avoids Game & Watch's advantage state, like up air and chef and stuff like that. So I just think that it lets Mars really play his game, like be creative, be like really tough to hit and make you work for it. And he took small damage where he could. He would bait and bait and bait and occasionally do like a run up smash. And it all of his patience and like his occasional like risks just were really flowing really nicely. And they all really paid off. And Mia just started playing worse and worse, to be honest, and just really falling into things. So it's tough. It's hard to say, like, what, even if he did a full Steve set or if he switched after game one, it's really hard. Like, based on those three games, it's really hard to say that Mia could have won that set in that moment, to be honest.
Did you see Mia's tweet?
He was very afraid to play Mars specifically, yeah.
He admitted it after, yeah.
If we're looking at this on paper, this was very favorable for Mars. If you're too into like the rankings and the data, then you're going to think that it's an easy win for Mia. But I think if you're around enough and playing the game enough, you would actually think Mars has a very, very great chance. And that's why we predicted what we predicted. He was one of the people we said could have a really good bracket run that people weren't going to be ready for. And he's literally the person that did that. There's just, Zero Suit just really dominates Game Watch in neutral. The damage isn't a lot, but if you just play it consistently, like even on a stage like Smashville, which did appear in that best of five, it still looks like Game Watch has to run a marathon to catch Zero Suit. So
I think too, she's the only character that gives Mia's combination a hard time no matter who he picks. So like, yeah, sure, he could have gone Steve, but it's not like a, it's not like an easy pick, you know what I mean? Or like an easy, like, oh, I should have done this or that. It's not like Steve gets a lot that Game & Watch doesn't. Like, he's going to be fighting either way. It's probably a better matchup, honestly. I know that's notoriously one of Game & Watch's worst matchups, but Mars, he plays the player is what he does. He's so good. I don't, you know, obviously top tiers or higher tier characters are going to afford you more opportunities to win matches, whether it's through better disadvantage state, through harder hitting combos, through better edge guarding and all that stuff. But man, if you got habits, he's going to find them and he's going to hit you so hard for it, regardless of what character you play. And that's why I think Zerzu still does so well for him. Like in a couple different ways, she does.
He's so strong in a tournament setting because of that, especially with high stakes.
Yeah.
Because it's like his strengths are elevated and your habits are more glaring, and it gets very scary very fast against Mars, and before you can blink, like the worst scenario is happening to you or something. It's pretty incredible. I saw so many great things. I saw like he would shield, he'd wait just long enough, he'd drop shield, turn around jab. He was making great use of down tilt. He's always been great at pacing when he actually goes for grab. That's like one of the most obvious things that I feel like anyone can notice about his gameplay. But like, if we think about like the Spargo set, like you could, like me and Marcus were like, all right, he's starting to overthink it a little bit. But versus Mia, like everything, like he was layering everything very perfectly. He was keeping it simple when he had to. He was pacing his risks perfectly. He was ready for both matchups. And it's nice to see him not only get that big win on rank 2 in the world, but he won the next set against someone that's also like top 30 in the world as well. So, and this is all as Zero Suit. I don't want to, you know, take anything away from anyone, but Zero Suit is obviously working much, much harder than the opponents that he's up against. So, it's all the more impressive for sure.
When after Mars, I keep wanting to say his real name. It's so weird. Like,
like
Gavin and Matt. No. And like, but he comes off the stage after he plays Spargo, and I don't know if it was Light or has one of the two asked him. He's like, "How do you feel?" And he was like, "I'm frustrated." And I was like, bro, I haven't heard Mars say something like that about competition in so long. Like, he just usually, he get off the stage, he like, all right, that was fun. I'm done. But like, I don't know. It was like something was there. And he was like, yeah, I just feel like I played really bad. And that's probably where like the overthinking, I didn't want to like dive into it. He just lost his match. So I'm not going to ask him about it. But it was just cool to see him with a little bit of fire. Whenever, like, because he's obviously generational, like you're not gonna find a player like him. I don't even know when. Like, he's very, very unique, and when he wants it, he's a gigantic threat to any bracket, as we just saw. So it was cool seeing him this weekend. I'm glad that he showed up and he was ready to play. It's kind of just like last Smash Con, except he actually got top 8 last Smash Con, so he did even better then. And I think didn't he beat Onin last Smash Con as well? Like, I think it was also game 5 last hit, like a crazy tense situation for a long time. And I remember Onin, like, or if it's Onin, someone's been recently saying it's Onin or Onin, I'm not sure. Looked like really frustrated. And I mean, it is frustrating. Like, you're that close again. And then you lose to the same person you lost to last year, and someone who you feel like doesn't play that often and like really takes the game seriously, and you're like trying your best, and then another game 5 loss in like a situation that was very winnable for you. It's tough, and I felt for the kid. But I mean, they bounced back the next day. They beat Cola, you know. It's not like they just went out. So it was cool to see that dude's the GOAT, though. Definitely one of my favorite players to watch of all time. He's just too unique, man. Like,
yeah, absolutely. And I think that I agree, Marcus, where it's just he showed up as a competitor this weekend. I think he got motivated. He saw he had a bracket where he could cause some real damage, where he could do And that's kind of like, I know he still cares, obviously, deep down. But I think there are some brackets where it's like, hey, I got Spargo and I got some other shitty matchup. And oh, well, like, I'm just a content creator. But when he sees an opportunity and he gets motivated like that, bro, you could see when he played Mia. Oh, he wanted to win so bad. Oh, he wanted to win. Spargo, too, obviously. It's not like he just gave up or whatever. And obviously, Akola. The final set, the Akola set, dude. Killer.
Well. You wanna speak on that, Badge?
Or
you
I do. I want to wait for. I don't think Gavin's heard this before because Gavin had to get up, get a glass of water.
Was he playing during that? I think.
He does not know the story. I don't think so. I would like to tell him.
That is really, really funny, bro. When Gavin was playing Sonics, he's not here, but I already told him this. I was watching Mars Akola, and then somebody was like, Gavin's playing Sonics. I was like, oh gosh, like not right after he lost. This is a loss, man. We can just pack it up. And they're like, oh, he won game one. I was like, just keep watching the set. Like we'll see, but like I'm sure he's in that mood. Like, I don't feel like doing this. Like, cause it's a lot. But after you lose like a tough matchup, for someone that you won't really get to play often. That was just ranked like one spot above you, and you're like, bro, like this is my shot, like, and then you lose, and then you gotta go play Sonics of all people, and you know how Sonics gets on his losers runs, like it's gonna be the hardest set that you played that event, and I was like, they're like, he got three stock the next game, I was like, okay, and they're like, he's getting three stock game three, I was like, oh gosh, so I walk over there because I'm like, you know, I'm gonna try to support him. Got his earbuds in, which he normally has, like the AirPods.
Spawn, yeah,
but then he's just like legs crossed, like slouch. Just I'm playing, but I'm not really there. And I was like, I'm just gonna walk away, man. I'm good. Like I don't know. Like if I want to be in it, if he's in it, and it was just tough. So, speaking of Sonics. Sonic is another character. You said like a Zero Suit is one of those characters that's tough for me as combination. Sonic is too. And
might be a good character.
That dude is insane. Losers run. Like, I don't think people are really like it's shocking to me that people aren't still talking about his losers run. Like,
that's because you made the tweet about it, bro. You stole the glory. You said it. You said it perfectly. Do you have that tweet available?
I don't know. What did I?
Chris
even
will
say?
Find it. Producer Chris is on.
Yeah, like,
he's great.
I guess it's because he didn't win. I mean, I don't know. Like,
I saw people even before he got second place. I saw people calling it the longest losers or the best losers run of all time or the best bracket run of all time. Even though he didn't before he was even out.
I don't know. That Leo Frostbite run was kind.
Dude, yes.
That Leo Frostbite run was kind of different. And that might be it. Maybe that's it. Like, maybe it's just
there you go.
He didn't finish. But, like, look at all those names, man. Like you could have stopped at Mia and you won an event. You know what I mean? Like, you could have stopped at – maybe you could have stopped at Light and you won an event. Like
Jazzo, Raru, Ashimo, Shattuck, Light, Mia, Tweak, and Akola.
What is
and
that?
I love that you threw Jazzo in there, by the way. Goat. He's a great player. He's ranked 60. Yes. Good. Yes, that definitely counts. And he's good at the matchup, too. Even though it's a dog shit matchup, he's very good at the Sonic matchup.
Yeah, a lot of experience in it. And it's just like, how can you do all that and just hit grams and you just got to play Spargo? Which is also interesting because for two reasons. One, Spargo's coming off his trip, right, to Kagaribi Kowloon or whatever, where he got third. But he did just lose to a person that he doesn't normally lose to, right, Akola being that. So when I saw that Sonics had to play Spargo, I was a little nervous. He did go Aegis against Ken early in the bracket, and it looked pretty good. So I was expecting the Aegis to come out, and it did. And I was like, And then that Roy came out, and I was like, I don't know. Like, maybe it'll get a dub. Like,
I was not feeling that shit. I'll be honest with you.
What's interesting is when he went down 2-1, I typed to someone. I said, honestly, I would go Cloud here because his Cloud was playing very hot. just to see. It's not like he hasn't beaten him with Cloud before. I would try Cloud here in this situation, down 2-1, to see if either I win the game and maybe I can win the next one, or if there's a second set, then I know who I'm playing for the second set, and it's probably going to be Roy. Spargo's like, nah, full confidence, I'm locking in Roy. Bro, I didn't even think about switching. I was like, my bad. And then he just won. And I was like, that's why you're up there, and that's why I'm down here just watching, because you know what right. to do in those situations. Like, I was genuinely and pleasantly surprised. But the thing is, and I always tell people this, I'm like, I feel like if you want to beat Sonics, you should study not Sonic specifically. You should watch how Spargo plays Sonics, because I think he plays against him the best out of everyone, and he's done it with multiple characters. Most of them have a sword, but I think all of them have a sword. All of them have a sword. But just the way
at one time.
I can't believe I've seen two neutral get ups already from Sonics.
Yeah, it's something about Spargo and Sonic's their dynamic. I don't know. He just like makes him play differently.
He like simplifies Sonic's gameplay. He like he just somehow makes him so much more vulnerable than he is versus other players.
Because to me, like, I was watching it, I was like, his Roy's not really doing anything super special.
Oh, of course not. Yeah.
He's just playing the game and winning. And like, that doesn't, how come like other people are trying that? Like, I've watched Cola versus Sonic's recently, and Cola's playing the game, but it's just not the same when, I don't know. it's really strange, but I kind of want to do a deep dive into their sets.
Undies, baby. Anyway, that's a good video. Like, why does Spargo do so well, or why can he do so well? That's a good idea.
Well, I think you could definitely be the man for the job, for sure.
That's right. Maybe get yourself a Smashy next year.
Ooh.
Yeah. Best content. That's a category. Hey,
if they lock in Best Analysis,
it is. There's like serious content and funny content. They both got one, which is cool.
Oh, nice. Your story about Akola and Mars. Because Gavin didn't hear it.
Yeah, you don't know about what Paris and I did during Tyler's set with Akola, right?
No. I didn't realize it was 3-2. That's pretty crazy.
What's that?
I didn't realize it was game 5. Tyler.
So game 1 starts off first stock. Mars is beating ass. He's doing so well. What is it?
I know how this goes. I know how this goes.
70-0 off the rip. And then he has Akola offstage super deep. And I don't know if Akola can recover. I know C's recovery is OD. Like, I know it's really good. But it looked really far. And Mars was right in the way, too. You know how he's edge guarding. He's, like, getting super aggressive offstage. So I was a little hyped up watching the set. And I yelled, SD to Akola, because I thought he was going to SD. You know, he's down there so deep. And at the same time, Paris Light yelled, down air him. And at the same time, we both yelled those things. Mars down aired and SD'd. So I was like, that's not what we meant by what we were saying. We meant, never mind. And after that, he lost the set. And he came off the stage, and the first thing he said was, that first SD, though. He's like, that's all he could think about. It was crazy. Yeah. I was like, do we tell him? I think I said SD you Jim. And then I was like, I didn't mean you, dumbass. I meant the other Jim.
Dude, I could not believe it. Paris is just down there. And as soon as it happened, I was like, oh my god. Like, y'all are the worst. Like, what?
Yeah.
He's just praying on his downfall. What's going on here?
I'm waiting at the ledge and I'm shielding. I ain't going out there.
Oh, it was like the freest like edge guard sequence that was probably.
He probably did a drop rising aerial, and he just did
drop rising back air, and just.
Did you see him in the chair? I didn't realize how much he reacted because I was busy you reacting in my own chair.
There's no back from that, bro.
Another player I have to give props to. Hot take, Akola, bro. Got to give the kid so many props, man. That crowd wanted to see not necessarily like him lose.
The top 24, so.
That crowd was ruthless. Great crowd.
Bunch of game fives. Bunch of game fives.
A lot of game fives.
Leo, DeBuzz, and Mars.
He was down in all. Well, I don't know if he was down in the Mars one.
But. He's getting comfortable in, like, or he's he didn't even need to prove it at this tournament, but he clearly performs well when he's outside of Japan. It's a whole different game. It's a whole different environment. And he's young, but he's clearly prepared to do it. Like the crazy crowds and everyone wants to see him lose or blah, blah, blah. He's clearly ready for it. And some of them aren't. And that's no shade to them. Some of these people are ranked higher than me. But Mia has a lot more inconsistencies in North America than Akola does. And it's tough. It's a whole different environment. And like, you know, some of that is a cool thing for Smash, and some of it is due to different rule sets and blah blah blah. Like, it's just difficult when you're traveling all over the world, and it's always a little different. But Akola, he can perform regardless of where he is, I think. So
he's clutch, dude. He's clutch and he's consistent. He really is. And a part of that was, you know, watching him play. It was crazy watching him beat Leo in a game five. And dude, the more it goes on, the more it just felt like early Leo, where it's like, oh, he's going to lose now. Oh, it's going to happen. Like the number one seed, the guy who's going to win the tournament, he's going to lose. He's going to lose. Doesn't lose.
Every game five, wins
skates
every game
by
five.
Somehow. No big deal. Like barely wins game four and crushes.
He did it to MK Leo.
It like said something off of my brain. I'm like, there's something here. Like there's something he said about what I'm seeing right now. Like this is important. It felt like, not that the guard hasn't changed officially already or whatever, but it really felt like this is an important moment for sure.
Yeah, I think that's
crazy.
And it's something I'm always talking about with certain players, is like these players that are just becoming very, very good, and they keep winning like consistent tournaments, and they're traveling all the time. There's certain players where if you're trying to beat them, you don't want to see them getting so comfortable getting used to winning. Because someone like Aqua, like the kid probably isn't even considering the fact that he could lose if he's winning so often. And like, that's so dangerous when you're trying to play against that. Like there's a lot of players that come to mind too. Like, you know, when Leo's comfortable, you know, when I think of my own experiences, I think of Zomba, who's like kind of like the new dominant person from my area in the US. Like he's beaten me a couple times in a row now, and that's so bad for me. Cause like, he's just not gonna like, he doesn't think that there's even a chance he's gonna lose now. And I know how it feels. Cause you know, that can happen to me all the time. Like even if it's not a tournament, like if I play against someone for a couple hours, like once I get a few wins in a row, like I'm done considering losing. Like I it's not in my brain anymore. Like, and, you know, I think of Mia as well. Like, you know, it's happening with Hurt for sure. Like, he's just like, there's a reason why, like, it doesn't matter if it's always game five last stock. They win them every time, and they're ready to do it. And it's crazy. It's difficult to play against for sure.
And you know who else? My boy Shattuck. Because what is up with these reverse three stocks? Yeah. What is going on? He does that
diving, bro.
He does it consistently against the best players in the world. Like, it's nothing. It's just, hey, it's time to win. Like, Raru was up, everybody. Oh, Has had to fill out the apology for him. He said it on commentary.
He was the like, sin. Yeah, I should have never doubted.
Five. Yep. Think we're going to
I forgot I did that. Oops.
As you said it, when you said it, first I was like, bro, you might want to take that back. And then he lost the second stock. I think he lost the second stock, and I was like,
some might say it was a calculated dramatic risk by yours truly.
Oh, but
a little secret behind the scenes.
And like, he's just right a lot of times in a row. Like,
yeah,
part of it is Corrin, but like with all these players, it's their ability to bring that out of the character. And like, he's just, it's ridiculous. Like, I could not believe that he won that game. Like, it just didn't make sense to me. I'm just looking, I'm like, But I think it's like the last stock or something like that, where he like almost catches Rara's land in with up smash, and it like trades with the tournament. He was right so many times in a row. And
he was very quick to keep playing it after that weird scenario too. It did not deter him at all.
He like had that moment where he's like, what the heck? But then he's like, bro, let me lock back in. Like, man, that kid is and I said that on the Patreon episode too. I was like, even though Shattuck has like a hard bracket, it's really hard to, well, projected hard bracket, it's really, really hard to count him out of any bracket currently. He's just like feels like a guaranteed top eight. Like it.
Yeah. What I want to say about his performance is a little bit different than other people's that we've talked about, because I feel like based on like, you know, the predicted bracket was different, the projected bracket, but what he actually played against was completely different. I think it's an example of a really good bracket, and he just capitalized on it well, even under pressure and like, you know, unexpected or like tournament moments. Like he had a lot of favorable matchups, even though they're like some of the best of the characters or whatever. And he just capitalized. I really think it's a bit more simple, yet there's beauty to it as well. You know, it's a little bit different about the rants I've gone on with other people's performances this weekend, but yeah, like Yoshi, Luigi, like we expect Korn to win those, but this is the best of the best. But Shattuck showed up regardless, and I think that's really good. Because when I think of my own run, like I had some hiccups. It was something that I was disappointed in is, you know, I had to play against JDV's Pac-Man in phase, like in the beginning of phase three. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, well, Diddy Pac-Man, like this isn't great, but I won and it's like, okay, cool. And then later on I had to play Ashimo and I was like down 2-0 and I'm like, bro, I just beat Pac-Man, but I'm not capitalizing. I'm not capitalizing on being up against Ashimo in a really favorable matchup. I ended up winning the set or whatever, but it, I just think Shattuck capitalized really, really well and continued to do so match after match. So, yeah, it's very, very interesting, especially because obviously it wasn't exactly as projected. So
yeah, and you've had brackets like that, like LMBM.
Yeah, you earlier, just,
that was this year.
You
like
just you hold the flow and you capitalize.
You
yeah,
you just locked in and you're like, hey, yeah. Like I guess I play this person. All right, GGs. Yeah. Like,
pretty similar to what we're saying about Mars, right? You get a favorable bracket, you do what you, it doesn't matter what the rankings say, like do what you can with it. That's, dude, that's the other thing about ranking. I thought about ranking so much, obviously, this weekend and on my flight home and stuff.
For sure.
Dude, it's so interesting because you try to, because I'm like, what do we compare our rankings to? Is it like boxing? Is it like tennis where like you get points for showing up and beating people? Like, how does it work? I'm like, dude, but it's not those things, because in tennis, you both play by the same exact rules. In Smash, there's matchups. And like, I don't know. Like, that's like a whole different thing. It's so weird, dude. Like, it's so, but it's something I love about Smash too, that it is so different. It isn't as straightforward as, this guy's just the best player, period. Like, there's so much to consider as to what that means exactly. It's so interesting.
Yeah, and the hardest thing about most of those, like the comparisons, is that Smash is double LM format and the rest of them are single LM. So it can be really, really tough to navigate that, in the sense that if you lose in a single LM, you out. But, I mean, like, you can look at Sonic's run. Bro lost, but then beat all the best players in the world, and it's like that wouldn't happen in any single LM bracket.
Everyone in that building didn't care that he lost in winners anymore, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
just in front of us he's beating everyone else, so
pretty dominant too. It's not like, and talk about a bracket, he had to beat Light, he had to beat Paris, who has been him and Spargo.
That's where he started, that's where he started.
Yeah. and he fucking 3-0'd. It's not like, oh, it was close by the skin of his teeth, he got lucky. It's like, nope, he, that is a thing I talked about.
I don't think he had that many hiccups in general.
No, not anymore. No, because he set them all down. And that's what I talked about in commentary. The thing I respect about him the most is that matchups aren't really a thing to him. He doesn't care. Like, Aegis used to give him problems, right? Lay would go Aegis. Oh, sorry, GG's. Does not give a shit. You can't just pick Aegis against him. He's going to back air you off stage and kill you at 30. I don't care. He's going to back throw you, back air you. Because he doesn't miss those. Because he can't. Because that's how he plays. Who's the other one? Fox. And specifically Light. Doesn't care anymore.
It hasn't been a big problem lately. Nope. It really hasn't.
He's just like that. And obviously Sonic's a very, very good character. That's a part of it too. But I don't care how good your character is. At some point, you're going to run into something like that. And how do you deal with it? And to me, that's like the thing that sets him apart, is that he just doesn't give a shit. Like, and obviously Sonic's matchups, like, he doesn't have like a -5 or something. Like, he's not dealing with that. But like, still dealing with losing matchups is dealing with losing matchups, however they are. So I really, really respect that from him. And it would look dumb if he played a different character because of his tag and all that, you know? So, like, I think he kind of was forced into, you know, his hand was forced there. Like, he was going to have to suffer through those matchups regardless. but, yeah, it was really great to see him do that, because it's like, does Akola go Aegis against him? His Steve doesn't work against Sonic. Why wouldn't he try his Aegis? Because he just beat Sparga with his Aegis. Sonic's is different. It's not going to work. It's not, well, maybe it could, but really? You want to try that against him? He's fucked up every Aegis on every continent. Like, it doesn't matter.
It would have been interesting to see. And crazy. It could have, like, shown some different results or something. But from our perspective, probably all three of us, it would have been hard not to have faith in Sonic's regardless in that specific.
You're still picking him, yeah.
In that specific moment. So, yeah.
But how impressive is that?
No, I agree.
The number one player in the world can pick a bad matchup and we still think this guy's going to win.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah. I'm not going to switch sides or anything. Like,
oh, yeah.
But I like the way you worded it. And yeah, that was the interesting thing about this weekend outside of it just being the most crazy ultimate tournament in general. Was that the rankings happened simultaneously. And, you know, after the fact, I was really like, yeah, damn, I deserve those losses. Cause I felt like I was very invested in the rankings and, you know, I could have been spending that time like practicing or preparing. And like, I think it was very interesting just to see like who folded under the ranking pressure and who didn't. Cause I definitely think I did quite a bit. And it was very interesting looking back on it because it didn't really hit me until like, you know, by the time I was home. So yeah, it definitely gives me a lot to think about outside of the things, I already did when it comes to like my future tournaments and character picks or blah, 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 blah. So yeah, I just think when you think of Spargo winning this event, it's all the more impressive because the tournament was as stacked as ever. Like it just was like incomprehensible attendance. On top of that, he got ranked low, pretty low for his standards. No one usually thinks of Spargo as like a ranked 9 player. We usually think of him at least as a little bit higher than that. So, to win the tournament without really like a hesitation and like switching characters and just like locking in, getting the job done. I think it's all the more impressive to consider that, especially because the kid's a teenager. So yeah, shouts to Spargo, bro. Like,
bro, champion. He hooked hurt.
He plays like a champion, bro. He really does. He plays like
a winner.
He plays like a winner. And, you know, not everyone does that. Even some people that are winners, there's a difference between playing like one and I don't know. It's hard to explain, but
yeah,
it is very obvious that he is a champion. And,
The last time he played hurt, it was a struggle. And he's just, I'm thinking like, oh, maybe he'll switch characters. Like maybe we'll try Aegis. Maybe we'll go someone else. It just locks in Cloud. He's like, it's funny. He was talking to one of my friends who mains Cloud because they had like a whole Cloud group chat thing and they took like a Cloud picture. You know how like character. Yeah. And they were talking to Spargo and Spargo's like, yeah, I feel really confident about playing hurt. And they're like, oh, you're going to go somewhere else? He's like, no, I did a lot of studying. I'm going to go Cloud. And he just kind of won. He just did some studying. And I was like, oh, okay, I think I can do this. And that is, like you said, the sign of a winner, man. It's just, hey, this is giving me a lot of trouble. Is there something that I could have done better? If not, then yeah, I mean, sure, let's consider switching. But let me exhaust all my options first before I consider switching. So it was really cool to see. It's not like he had an easy bracket. I mean, even though him and Sonic play all the time, and I'm pretty sure the record's in his favor. Don't quote me on that, but I feel like it's in his favor. I mean, Sonic's was beating literally everyone else. Like it felt like this was the time that Sonic's was going to break the second place curse. It really did. I was just watching it. I was like, I don't know if anybody can stop this, man. Like,
you see like 10 million wins in a row. It's hard not to consider it. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, and there goes Spargo, just cool and collected. Roy. Huh?
Dude, blew my mind. What the fuck? That was crazy.
Yeah. I mean, who else did Spargo have to play? He had to play Mars, which is a favorable matchup. But again, Mars was playing hot that weekend. And I think that's something that's
funny because all of us still,
maybe not against him, but
we all still it's just hard not to predict Spargo winning it regardless. I I had no hesitation expecting Spargo to win
the event
against Mars. Against Mars.
Oh.
Well, and something I think about a lot too, and also thought of on my flight home, is the difference between playing day one and day two. Mars playing white hot, obviously day one, and very well day two for his bracket. But I do there's something to it, man. Like, who know, like Sonics was not having a great day one, obviously. That is not a loss that I would have ever thought would happen, by the way. Shout out to Snow.
Yeah.
Definitely had a plan and definitely wanted to make something big happen and did it. I need to watch the VOD or something. I know one was a timeout or something, but that is just ridiculous. Like, and which is great because Snow is another player where a lot of people were like, is Snow really that nice? Or is this like a Japan bias thing from the rankings? And I'm so happy that Snow pulled up and like that, the one matchup where you're like, all right, he's good, but he can't do this one. There's no fucking way he beats Sonics. Well,
I feel like that's the interesting thing about it when it results in a timeout. Cause I think objectively, I can't in good faith say, oh, Snow timed out Sonics. It's more Sonics intended to time out Snow, and he timed himself out because that he didn't execute it properly. Because there's no world where it's like, hey, I'm Mario, I'm going to time out Sonic, because Sonic's offense and defense are better. So it's just not, it's not a thing. So it's more like the opportunity is given to Snow, and he stands his ground, and Sonics times himself out. Which is a W, obviously, and it's not easy because Sonic will pump out more damage in a quick amount of time. So he can make up for his mistakes with his timeout strategy. But this matchup is definitely historically bad for Mario, and there's no universe where Mario is timing out Sonic. So it's very, very impressive.
Wasn't Mia versus Sonic? So I think somebody said it was like that was also three timeouts or something like that. I think that was, besides Spargo, as close a set on the last day was him and Mia. Shout outs to the Buzz, by the way. Sorry, we always gotta shout out GOAT. Bro just be showing up, almost beat Akola out of nowhere with all of, like, I didn't know he was going Olimar. Like, when's the last time he even tried that? I feel like he's always tried Rosa. Yeah, I wonder what, like, was the inspiration. I don't know. It's just, that was a crazy tournament, man.
I heard they were going game five, and I walked over, and I expected to see Rosa, and it was Olimar. But then I saw him just, like Steph Curry over the wall, you know, long distance with the purple Pikmin. just over the two-piece. It was great, dude. He had a strategy. Again, people show up with strategies. But, again, Alcola just clutches it out, bro. Down game four or whatever. Yeah. Down 1-2.
He's down a lot.
Yeah.
Just ridiculous, dude. Ridiculous. And I don't Buzz know.
Had a close set with Hurt, no? Or at least relatively?
I'm not sure on that one.
It was... The Buzz had that big of a lead? What?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I was like... It was not close.
This is like, the game. You gotta close. He knows that, obviously. And you know it's over after you don't win that game.
Yeah, the moment you lose that game. The moment you lose that game, it's a pack it up moment.
Yeah, Alcola knows it's time for the clock is his friend.
Bro, when Kid ripped the mask off against Leo, that was fucking fire. That was so cool. I'm sorry. That was so cool. You saw that, right, Gavin?
I missed it.
You know what I'm talking about, though, right?
Oh. Was it after a specific game?
Alcola pulled off his mask. I've never seen him without his mask on. He pulled it off when he was down 1-2 against Leo and then beat him 2-0. It was raw, dude. Like, I give it up. That was everybody fucking cool.
His mask off, Akola.
Mask off, dude. He was in there, dude. It was wild. Cool. That dude, it was cool. Not a Steve fan by any means, but holy
five,
shit.
And not even just game fives. He's losing in these scenarios. Yep. It's very impressive for sure.
It is Leo.
I know. You know who else we got to shout out? Shout out to Crepe Soleil, bro.
Yes.
That kid Wario. Is playing some characters. He was Wario. He beat someone, Tama P. He beat Tama P with Wario.
He was a Bayo, yeah.
I'm pretty sure he beat Tama P with Wario, which is impressive.
The first 3-0.
Mm-hmm, which is
I
like.
I watched the whole thing because I was playing after.
And then he plays Shattuck, who's been doing pretty well against the Robs, like Zomba and all them, and he goes game five. Like, I didn't even know he played Rob.
He low-key started that weekend, low-key.
And he actually almost won game five. He was really close to getting that down air off stage after he landed that nair and started doing the gyro combo. He almost landed a down air and he would have beaten Shattuck. Like, and my brain was like, bro, you play Rob since when? That dude, that kid's good.
That lineup is kind of crazy too. Rob, Steve, and fucking Wario. Like, it is.
Yeah,
it's kind of nice.
Winning lineup for sure.
I was very, very impressed. We almost won. That would have been the set.
That was game.
Once he missed it, I was like, okay, you lose. But actually, it was even crazier because I remember taking note of this. I was like, he's willing to take the grab, and Shattuck won't take the grab. Shattuck might actually lose here because Crepe was just shielded next to him, and he would not take the grab. He wouldn't.
He was in game five last stock mode.
Mm-hmm. And he just kept getting it. I was like, dude, you are about to lose this because you're giving him so many opportunities to come back. Like, he would not take the grab. It was pretty crazy, but then, you know, he won. But a close game five with someone who's been beating all the best Robs, so that kid deserve
props.
I can't say it. Yeah, props. Number one in EU deserve.
Credit. Yeah. No Mickey Mouse crown there for sure. He's definitely a player. Like, Fondies, you can't just pick Rob against top players and do well. Like, it doesn't work that way because they're good at the match. Rob's very, very, very good. You can't just, especially not Shattuck, you can't just do that shit. It doesn't work.
Golly.
Justin Warren.
All right, I'm going to ask it on the – I was going to wait for the Patreon episode, but I have to ask Gavin. So a lot of people this week were like, he has to play Hurt. He has to play Hurt. Is he going Sephiroth? I was like, that man only plays Diddy Kong. Yeah. Ain't no way he's locking in any other character. Bro is playing Diddy Kong. When you went down 2-0, did you consider switching at all? No?
No.
I knew it.
But it's more like a thing of like the rough part about the game losses was how much time was left on the clock while I was losing. Like, I was essentially in timeout territory regardless of when I lost my final stock. Like, if I stayed alive, I was just going to get timed out. So I knew it was like looking really bad. And I didn't really have a stage game plan either after the fact. So I just knew it was rough. So I tried to add some, I essentially had the same response to when I started losing to Ashimo, where I was just like gonna play a little aggressive and try to find kills. And it worked a little bit, but, he went back to small battlefield, and actually looking back on it, he wasn't allowed to do that, but I let him do that. oops. but, yeah, I just, Diddy just can't really crack the defense, I'm not going to lie. And obviously, Sonic took banana and then timed out. So I just, the rough feeling was after the fact was like, yeah, like, in comparison, my character is just a normal guy. And these characters are like on like a different level. And like when I have the deficit, or if they are really down to go for the timeout, whereas at something like Smash Supernova, they're definitely going to go for it. So because of the nature of my winner's loss, I was considering switching in losers. It just in terms of, I'm like a long-term person. If I feel like I made a mistake in winners, even if that set came and went, I'll still try to make up for the mistake in losers with my like behavior. Just for like long term in the bracket and future tournaments. So I was considering going Sephiroth versus Sonic. Just as like a, I don't know how else to explain it. Just like it for principle. I always do stuff like that where I'm like trying to make up for it. But I didn't really see too much of a point. But yeah, he wasn't gonna let me win that set. Like, he was just gonna, if the set took 7 hours, he was down for it to take 7 hours. Like, he wasn't let me win. But I took the first game, and then it just got really, really difficult. Yeah, the thing about Sonic Diddy is Diddy doesn't have a way to deal with like the invincibility release like I can't just barrels into him or something. Like it will straight up beat the barrels. And then if he takes banana, I don't have anything I can do either. But obviously I have to use the banana, obviously. So if I have a small lead, I can go for the time bound stuff, but Sonic was just all the more ready to time out. So that's where I was most upset about both losses, was I just got timed out by the nature of the two characters I was playing. So it makes me want to pick a more favorable matchup so I can do a player versus player thing a bit more, because it felt like I didn't have a chance to show off what I'm capable of just because I just can't beat the clock. So that's why, like, lately I've been studying some VODs and maybe considering different stages and characters, especially for Snake, because I have a good history of Sephiroth versus Snake. I just thought I would be able to, in that moment, do it with Diddy. And the games were close. I know I could have won at least game one, maybe. I think it was.
One and three.
I think game three. I won game three.
Or four. One and four. You could have won game four.
Yeah, I could have won game one and four for sure. So that's fine. But yeah, I mean, damage output, kill power, timeout strategy. It's just, bro, it also makes me happy because I got ranked top five in the world with Diddy. And I don't want to be on my own podcast, like, doing this kind of thing. But I think anyone who has any experience in Smash knows this character is just a normal character in a world of not normal characters. My character has to do so much more. If you disagree, like, you're just wrong. I'm sorry. Like, the frame perfect inputs and the way the game functions, the bad matchups, it's just super obvious. So, and sometimes after a rough loss, it feels terrible, but obviously, when I'm winning matchups like Pac-Man or Steve, it feels great, and that's why I stick with Diddy. But yeah, like, so after SmashCon, it's like, dude, what am I doing? These characters are like triple the amount better than Diddy.
Okay, triple is a little bit much, man.
You know what? It is very significant, and even whether it's tier or matchup, it's also just genuine execution as well. So. It is what it is.
It is what it is, baby. I think Supernova was a great time overall for all of us. We're going to continue talking about it on the Patreon content, patreon.com/tweaktalks. Catch up with us over there. I think that's it for this episode. It was great. And it's rare that a tournament gets hyped up so much and meets a lot of expectations or like feels good. And this one really, really did. And I feel like Supernova consistently does too. So that's cool. Either way, yeah, we'll do some Patreon stuff. Take us out of here, Gavin. It's your podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much for supporting the show as always. I had a lot of people, I'm sure all three of us can attest to this, a lot of people talked about the podcast with us over the weekend. Someone thought Haz was Charles. Actually, no, they weren't sure who Haz was.
Multiple people.
And Haz introduced himself as Charles. So Charles,
I keep saying I was Gavin's coach, Charles, yeah. And then every time they go, oh yeah, that's who you are, I'm like, yeah.
So Charles was there in spirit, but yeah, I appreciate that a lot. It wasn't even just people saying like, oh, I like watching you play. A lot of it was just support for the show, and we appreciate that. And yeah, let's get into some bonus content. Have a good one.